Okay, page Mem Zayin, Chav Zayin. Page Mem Zayin on towards the bottom. Halacha, Halacha, Chav Zayin. Everyone got it?
We're learning
this book. Sefer Chassidim. On page Mem Zayin. Page Mem Zayin. We're learning Halacha, Chav Zayin. Al Toymari. Person should not make the following mistake. The only thing that I need to do tshuva from when it comes to the zmanin of doing tshuva only for actions, only for sins that you've done something lemaisa, you're going gezel, I stole money, rachman elitzlan znus, ugineva, dechayayse bohen. But there's no need to do tshuva for midois. I'm a kaisan. I am an arrogant person. I have very bad thoughts here. Hurim Royim for Noshim. Those things, I didn't do anything. I didn't harm anyone. I didn't steal money. I didn't do a physical act. It's just my temperament to be an angry person. It's my temperament to be a Baal Taiva. I didn't do any harm. So for that, it's not necessary to do Teshuvah. That is a big mistake. A person has to do teshuva for midois rois. Ella, kashem. Yes, he's going to go into the whole discussion of evil thoughts. Very shocking thing he's going to say. Hold on. Ella, kashem shetzarech. Adam lifroish veloshuv mehem. Just like a person must do teshuva from ma'asim, he also kochu tzach lechapis badeois haraois sheyesh. A person has to go to a psychologist and search deep down into his character, his temperament. Sheyesh loy loshuv mehen yitshuv from midas ros. For example, mina kas, anger, mino eva, from hate. Eva is a very hard word to define. Enmity. What does that mean exactly? Enmity. How is what eva different than the word sinner? So I always want eva is the very beginning.
How does it translate the Eva
Oshis? Eva Oshis, that's the first thing. Eva Oshis, Ben Cha Uvein, the Nachash, the Ish. The Eva, Rabbi Sai, the only thing that is at least a Pesach to understand what it means, Eva, is the Mamor Chazal, for example. It says in Chazal, you're not allowed to be Mefarnes, the Aniye Yisrael, or Mefarnesim. Aniye akum im aniye Yisrael. If a non-Jew comes into the Beis HaKnesses and he asks for a handout, do you give him from the Pushka? He needs a handout. A guy walks in off the street and I want a handout. Do you give him? So the answer is yes. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to give him. Why? Mishum Eva. Mishnah. What does it mean, Mishum Eva? Let's understand. Let us say you would say to the non-Jew, listen, you're coming in here for a handout. Do you understand that we have a pushka, and the pushka was put out to collect money for our people? We have a community here, and there are poor people in our community, and that's who the money was collected for. It's not right that we should give the money that was collected for our people to you. If you want charity, go to the church. In the church, they have a collection also, and there the money was collected for you. Just like we're not going to the church to ask for us, so too, it's not proper. You should come and ask for charity. You should come and take our charity. The argument is bulletproof. It is a solid argument. And if you'd explain this to the guy, any thoughtful guy, rational guy, would understand that it's a good answer and he's not entitled to take charity from the Beis HaKnesses. However, when he walks out of shul, he still feels bad. He still feels bad. Yeah, you're right. And there's so many things in this world where you're right. But when everything is said and done, you're wrong. Okay? I had on Shabbos, I had a discussion with someone just about this. There's a certain thing going on in Klal Yisrael. I can tell you now. One day it'll come out eventually. And I was telling him, and we're talking about it. And we're talking, is it right, is it wrong, what do you think, who are us to talk about, who cares, I can solve a little problem. So I told him we can both be on a team to write a 10-volume encyclopedia proving 1,000 times over why halachically it is 100% correct. But we both know that when we step back, it's wrong. It's wrong. And there are many, many things like that in life. Here as well, a guy who comes into the shul and you prove to him why I can't give you the tzedakah. It's not meant for you. When he walks out of the shul, he knows it's not meant for him. But he still has a shtickle sinner. Why couldn't you find a way to help me? That is called Eva. That's not called sinner. Sinner is when you really hate the person. He beat you up. He stole from you. He did something that you deserve, that he should hate you. Eva is really sinas chinam. Eva is synonymous with sinas chinam. Why is it chinam? It's not justified. I can prove to you on the books that there's no reason why you should hate us. What you want is unreasonable. You have unrealistic expectations. But you still feel bad. So the reason why you do not like us is chinam. It is not justified. That is Eva. Eva is sinas chinam. There's going to Tisha B'Av Torah. What's the difference between a beis and a chaf in a Sefer Torah? Now today we don't do it the real way. We write a beis with a big, on the bottom of the beis, there's a big chunk that sticks out in the bottom right of the beis. That's a chumrah. There's no need for that big chunk that comes out on the bottom. According to the Ikar HaDin, you can see this in the Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos, in Mishnah Seifim, where he goes through all the letters of the Aleph Beis. The only difference between a beis and a chaf is a microscopic dot of ink. And that is the difference between the bottom, the top of the beis is to be square, and the top of the chaf, the top right of the beis is to be a perfect square, and the top right rounded of the chaf is supposed to be round. The bottom can be square, by the way. It can be square, both. So the only difference between a beis and a chaf is imashu shemashu. There was no leg on the bottom.
First started laying, yeah, Sifrei Torah that I, you know, sometimes
the beis and the chaf are not the same.
Close, I couldn't see the difference.
If you do OCR, you ever do OCR, you do optical character recognition. So where do they make mistakes all the time? The beis and the chafs. The computer has a very hard time differentiating between a beis and a chaf, and certainly things are not so clear because they're very, very similar. So there's a word called the first word. Why was the beis Hamikdash destroyed? The Bayis Sheni. Sinas Chinam. Chazal tell us it was not the Gimel Averes Chamurus, it was Sinas Chinam. How does Megillas Eicha begin? Eicha. What is Eicha? It's Kemat, the same thing as Eva. Eva Yoshua Bodad. It's because of Eva that we sit in solitude. We sit all alone in Golos. Eva! It doesn't say Eva. It says Eicha. A teeny mashahu is the difference. That little mashahu, what's the mashu? The mashu is that unjustified hate. I love you. There's no reason why I should hate you. But sometimes you just don't like a person for whatever reason. It's not justified. That little, if you don't nip the Eva in the bud, if you don't nip the Eva, it's not because of sinner. It's because of Eva. If you don't take care of that Eva, then very quickly the Eva turns into an Eicha. Because the two are really one and the same. Eva and Eicha are related. You have to be very careful. So here, he just writes over here, a person has to work on kas, umino eva, midos. A person must do tshuva for midos rois. Oimin hakina, jealousy, oimin hagezel, theft. Okay, now he's going over. So in the parish over here, he says it means, maybe I was using another parish, I finally found it. I had my sefer chassid with all the mefarshim, and I lost it. And I don't want to buy a new one, but Baruch Hashem, I found it, so I was able to prepare better for today's shir. It means over here, Gnevistas. That's what it says there. The repetition is Gnevistas. You go to the hospital, and you visit someone, And then he happened to see, look who's next door, another guy. I had no idea he was in the hospital. And you walk into the room and you say, you know, I traveled here 3 hours just to come visit you. What a liar. What? You're right, you're the quiet story.
I traveled 3 hours to
come here.
That's not a lie.
Not the, right, that's okay. That's okay. Or if the guy says to you, whoa, wow, you're such a tzaddik, you came 3 hours to visit me. Me, ani. Quiet. You don't have to say anything. He made the mistake, not you. Let him be. Let him think whatever he wants to think. But you have no right to say to him, I traveled 3 hours just to visit you. What a liar. That's Genevas Das. That's Gesnifa. I didn't do anything. What, I stole money from him. It's not tangible. It's not tangible. So for that, I do not need to do teshuva kamashman. You must do teshuva even for that as well. Next. Ve'akol umei redifas hamacholos uchayotze. But who cares? Who cares about I'm a fresser. I like to eat. Something I need to do teshuva for. The answer is yes. These are all midos rois, and the person must do teshuva from the midos rois. Me'akol tzarich lashuv, period. And then he goes on to say, guess what? It's a lot harder to do teshuva from a bad midah than it is to do teshuva from doing a mamish, a ma'isa averi itself. This is like mamish right out of the book of Rabbi Shol Salanter. Okay, right out of the book, to break a midah is almost impossible. The elu kashim yosim in avoynos sheyesh v'chem ma'aseh shemizban shadim rogel be'elu kashim lefresh mehem. The person has a bad midah. It's very hard to desist to do tshuva achrei shasher nishtakeh v'dosh v'asos, because the person is so used to doing the avera. V'al zenemar yazoiv rasha darkoi. He is telling us a chiddush. He's fataychin. The word darkoi means midos. Okay, interesting. Now when you know the word here, darkoi means midos. When it says in the Torah, Derocheha Darchei Noyam, you can easily be misled to say that it means that a person's, the Torah, the mitzvahs, the Torah says, give maisa. The Torah says, don't steal. The Torah says, eat kosher. So the mitzvahs of the Torah are pleasant. No, that's not what it means. It means the midos toivos that the Torah demands from you are Noyam. Of course, the mitzvahs, that goes without saying. Dirachecha, the word dirachecha is a code word for midos toivos. And therefore, when the Torah tells you to abandon midos rois, the Sefer Chassidim teaches us, it comes from the pasuk Yazoiv Rasha Darkoi. Darkoi does not just mean doing averois biodayim, it means the midos. Chofches. Zois Torah Sashalvavai.
Most people are more aware of doing something than they are.
Exactly. He says that. Exactly what he said. The elu kashim yosim in avoynos. Exactly what he said. Exactly what he says. It's hard even to be aware.
You need something wrong.
You need to study Musar. You need to study Musar. You need professional help. Who says even Musar will be enough? You need to go to a Musar yeshiva. This was the innovation of Rabbi Shol Salanter. Rabbi Shol Salanter had a very big argument with the Gedolei Hador, the Briska family. And his basic difference with them is that sitting and learning Torah the whole day will not make you into a Baal Midas. If you learn Shor, Shenorach HaSapara, there's a machlokes in Klal Yisrael. I think the Brisker family and of Shol Salanter, if you learn Shor, Shenorach HaSapara, will that make you into a Mensch? And many Gedolim took the side, the Brisker Shita, that it will. If a person is a masmid today, they know masmid. It doesn't matter today, because say they're no masmidim. Like we're talking about the real deal. Okay, to us it's all theoretical, because when's the last time you saw a person that sat behasmada? Maybe in Eretz Yisrael, you don't really see in America too often, but yeah, I'm sure there are. But to sit behasmada rabba yoyman v'layla and learn Torah, will that make you into a baal midos? So the Briska family held yes. In hell, Torah is magic. It has that magical ability to make you into a Baal Midas. And Rabbi Shol Salanter said you can stand on your head the whole day and learn Shor, Shenerach HaSapara, Shtem Erch Zimitalis, it will not make you into a Baal Midas. You have to devote yourself to the study of Musar, the Musar movement. It is an essential for the health of Klal Yisrael. And he wanted to make. I never knew this. It totally blew my mind. I was discussed this. Just like you have Bate Kinesios and Bate Midrashais, he innovated to have Bate Musa, a separate base medrash. You don't daven there. You don't learn there. There are no Sfarim. Don't bring in an Arshkol Gemara into this room. This is a room that is meant for one thing only, to meditate on words of Musa. Only Musa Sfarim, and you sit there the whole day and you repeat over and over, Ich bin a garnished. And you're also a garnished.
Yeah?
Only Musar. His vision was to have, I think, 500, or maybe it was 500 Musar Stiebel, called a Musar Stiebel, a Musar room, all over Europe and Germany, maybe even more, 5,000. I don't remember the numbers. He wanted to go from place to place to institute just a Mokoim for the study of Musar. A Mokoim! You're not going to be able to learn Musar in the Beis Medrash. There's too much going on in the base bench. Everyone is talking and learning. You're talking, you're fighting and learning. You're talking about the news, politics. You all know what goes on in the base bench. Okay? In a shul, forget it. In the shul, you're not going to be able to learn Musa. You have to have a special base medrash, a mokoim miyuchad, to learn Musa. Unbelievable idea. It's such a powerful idea. What? If you're a mensch, not necessarily.
But if you're a Baal Torah, you can't. It doesn't mean you're a mensch.
Not necessarily. If you're a mensch, you'll be a Baal Torah. It's a different world.
It doesn't mean you're.
It's. I don't. There are people. The world of Musar is a very different world than the world of Chochma, of Talmidei Chachamim, and the world of Talmidei Chachamim is a very different world of Baalei Avodah. There are people that know how to daven. They know how to say Tehillim. I really marvel these people. They come to shul, they sit, they say Tehillim for an hour. They slavos. Wow, I can't do that. I can't. The koyach to open up a Tehillim and every day to say a major chunk, is not the entire thing of Tehillim with such kavana, and they're able to say it so clearly. It's an amazing thing. You don't see that today. It's very rare, very rare to see people. Those people are not necessarily because of the Chachamim. They're not. It's not their thing. It's Tehillim. Their thing is not necessarily to know Shas and Poskim inside out. And the people know Shas and Poskim inside out, watch how they daven. It's very sad. It's very, very sad to watch how they daven. And then have a person who's a Baal Musar, a bench. You have people that are, they're really Baal Midos. Unfortunately, they're not the biggest daveners, and they're not the biggest learners. To have a person, all three together, it's almost one in a million. One in a million to find a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who is an Oyver Hashem, and is a Baal Musar. It's one in a million. I know someone that was a tremendous, incredible Baal Midos. I told you this last week, there was an incredible Baal Midos in Eretz Yisrael, a very big Baal Midos. And there was a fellow there, a woman there, that gave a compliment to the mother of this fellow who was Talmud Chacham and known to be a very big mensch. So she just said, Mesiach Lefitumo, to the mother, are you Baal Yitshuva? Are you Baal Yitshuva? Because in her mind, to be a Talmud Chacham and a mensch, a Baal Derech Eretz, unheard of. Unheard of. They don't go together. They don't go together. Here's a person that is a Baal Midos, and a Talmud Chacham has to be. He's a Baal Tshuva.
And he doesn't talk back
down. I mean, isn't that shocking? Isn't that shocking? It's very, very sad. It's a very sad tale on the situation that's going where we have. But I think
someone 6 days, 24 hours reading Musar.
Yes.
He doesn't know Ilchot Shabbat. How you can do Musar?
Balance. You're right. You have to. We're talking about a balance, a healthy balance. When you eat a meal, you have to have a little protein, a little of this, a little of that.
Okay.
A healthy balance.
Only
but what's
Musar,
the ikar?
Then I know.
Everyone has an iti. Everyone has a neshama that guides him in a certain direction. The point over here, is that the person has to work on Musar. Rav Yishol Salanter won, Rabbi Yisrael. By the way, this argument has been accepted that Rav Yishol Salanter, he won. He won the debate, and today it is accepted that the learning is certainly today, it's not even okay to say learning today, no matter how much you learn today, we all know it's not going to bring Lidei Musar, and it's widely accepted today amongst all, the whole Klal Yisrael is, learning a Shor, Shenorach HaSapara, will not make you into a Baal Midas. and you have to spend a significant amount of time learning Musar. Rabbi Olin once taught me, he told me that the Iker Musar is learning Nevi'im, to learn the Sifrei Nevi'im, because the Sifrei Nevi'im we learn here is Kuloi Musar. The entire thing is pure Musar. All of the Sifrei Musar of Mesilas Yesharim and Shari Tshuva, Chavis HaLevavis, what are they doing? It's just a commentary on the Divrei Nevi'im. That's all it is. So you might as well learn the source. You go to the source, that is where you'll find the Divrei Musar. Musar is an entirely different world. It's a world apart. And we have not seen anywhere in America that I know, I've never seen a Musar Shtibel. You ever hear of a Musar Shtibel or a Shul Slant that was not successful? It's a yeshiva, in Torah, in the Vardik. I was there yesterday. I davened the Mincha yesterday. I was there yesterday. It's a regular yeshiva like any other yeshiva. There's no difference. There's no difference between Yosef and Chaim Blin and Mir. Yeshiva Flatbush, it's all the same. I'm sorry to tell you today, like I told you in the beginning of the share today, that store people came late, is there was once a fellow who had two son-in-laws. One son-in-law was a vegetarian, and the other son-in-law was allergic to milk products. So whenever they came to his house, to the Aden, he had a table for this Aden. The son-in-law only ate milchiks, and a table for the son-in-law only ate fleishiks, because you're not allowed to eat on the same table milchiks and fleishiks. This son-in-law and his family only eat the milk products. They're vegetarians, so you eat over here. And this family, they only eat fleishiks, so you sit on this table. Vayehi hayoyim, he doesn't have milk, he doesn't have meat. He buys potatoes, and he serves them potato kugel. He puts the potato kugel, and he puts out the potato kugel, and this son-in-law takes the potato kugel, and he sits down on this table, and the other son-in-law takes the potato kugel and sits down on this table. So he says to them, it's Parif! You can sit together today! You can sit together! Why are you still sitting on different tables? No. We sit on different tables.
Minute.
We sit on different minute. It used to be there was a Satmar and an Aguda and a Ger and a modern Orthodox. They sat on different tables because I eat milchiks, I can't eat fleishiks. We're too different. Rabbi Sai, today in 2019, we're already in 2019, we're eating potatoes. There's already no difference between all of us. We all know it. The differences are so dakim shebedakim. I mean, everyone today has chilled out. Everyone has chilled out. All the Satma guys have the smartphones. and all the Litvaks like to wear bekeshes and shabbos. It's all the same, Rabbi Sai. We're eating potatoes today. Eating potatoes, you might as well sit at the same table. It's all the same.
Okay,
and what about the Sardim? How come the Sardim, they all wear black hats? All of the Sardim wear the Litvisha hats. What happened to the Sardim? What happened to the Sardim? Mahai! All the Sardim, they look like Litvaks. They wear black hats, they wear short jackets. What happened to you? What happened to you? What in the state? They used to have these robes. Rav Adi Yosef, he used to wear bigly malchus. What happened? It became the big melting pot. We're all eating potatoes. What? Everything today became one big cholent of potatoes. That's all it is today, potatoes. Vaita, so this is next halach. Now, let's go further. Chavchas, Zoyz, Tzores, Hashav, B'chol Ovo. Now, here we go into some really strange stuff, Rabbi Yosai. Now, the truth is, I don't have clarity in this. You help me with this. Let's listen to the paragraph. Okay, here we go. V'zoyz, Tzores, Hashav, B'chol Ovo, B'chol Navsha. I can't figure out if he's coming to me with advice or he's coming to make an observation. You'll help me figure this out. B'chol Moedai. Lidabek, B'boroi, V'al, a person should cleave to Hashem. The alcohol avera via vera shetovol biliyad. Now you have to remember, we're learning that is not for the faint of heart. You have to put yourself back 800 years ago. The alcohol avera via vera shetovol liyadai. Yachshoi, the person should think into his mind, chas v'shalom im goizrim olav shmad, yehoreg al yichud Hashem. V'chi zeh dover hakasha shlo yoicha lamoy boy yisbol avur avur yichud shemo. Let me just read the words and I'll explain what I think he means, and we'll read it again. Oz klaver yekalov lahaviro mimenu umiyokisha adam bolitor misayin loy min ashman. Now let me explain what I think he means to say is. We know in halacha that a person is only chayiv to give up his life for the gimel, averois, chamurois, avoidazara, giliarayas, shvichostam. But what about the color of your shoelaces?
Yeah.
Is there any inyan to wear the color, what color your shoelaces should be? I think I saw this week, a guy was wearing, you know, they have nine on kids, these boys like to wear nice socks. Some of the young guys, they like to wear very elaborate, very elaborate socks. I saw this week for the first time, this guy was wearing really, really stood out, the socks. And the shoelaces, he wore these exotic shoelaces. It enhanced the socks. Never saw that before. So let's say there would be a halacha of, there would be a minhag, you only wear black shoelaces, or you wear white shoelaces. This is what people do. And all of a sudden, one day, you know, you wake up in the morning and you can't find your shoelace, so you take out of the closet another, or you take another color, you take green shoelaces, white shoelaces. Who cares? Who could care less, right? Who cares? Well, let's say you're supposed to wash negelvasa this way. No, you're not so careful. You wash negelvasa the wrong way. You take your right hand, your left hand, whatever it is. No, who cares, right? This is the last thing you're worried about if you did the wrong thing. But let's say the goyim go out and they make a decree on the Jewish people. The Jews have to start wearing from now on only white shoelaces. Oh, the goyim are telling me to wear. You're telling me that I have to wear white shoelaces? I'm going to wear black. And you know something? I'll give up my life over it. Now there is such a halacha. If the goyim are telling you to do something which is under normal circumstances is trivial, but they're making these demands in order to show that you're giving up your religion, you're under their authority, and you're then in a chanami in shulch noach at the times of shemat when they want you to abandon your religion. I feel arkasa demesani, even on the color of the shoelace, you have to give up your life. To give up your life, not to wear the color, the shoelaces that the goyim want you to wear, instead of the shoelaces that you want to wear. If you know that the reason why they're telling you to wear a different color shoelace is because it is part of the big plan to that you should convert to their religion and you should abandon Yadlus, if it's all part of the big plan, if you can find it, can figure that out, all part of the big plan, then indeed, according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have an obligation to give up your life even for something that's so ridiculous as the color of a shoelace. So now, let's discuss over here a claim, something which unfortunately a person takes very lightly. Avak Lashon Hara. Talking during davening. Things that people unfortunately do not take very seriously. They don't consider it to be, you make a joke about someone, you say Avak Lashon Hara, you talk during davening. Yeah, big deal, this is the least of my problems. The least of the things I need to work on to become a better Jew. So how in the world are you going to break that bad habit? How are you going to kick the habit? It's almost impossible. It's impossible to kick a bad habit when the thing that you're doing is something which you consider to be lightweight. So the answer is, he's giving you a technique. He's a psychologist. And he's telling you, what would happen if the goyim would come and would make a decree, everyone must talk during Chazaras Hashatz. Okay, the goyim, they come into the shuls and they are goyzer. It's our country, you live in this country, you follow our rules. And if you want to continue to practice your religion, freedom of religion, then you must follow our rules, you must talk during Chazaras Hashatz. So you know what would happen then? It's true, really, it's really would be true. People will be willing to give up their life not to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. It's human psychology. If the sheikhs, the guy would come and would say, you better talk during davening, Chazar Sashatz, or I'm going to throw you out of the country. It's our country, the Shmat. If you don't want to talk during davening, then bow down to our idol. Convert, go for baptism. You're going to become a Christian. People would give up their life. Would you believe that? It's so true. It's a psychological truth. they would give up their life not to talk during davening. So it appears, if I'm not mistaken, the Sefer Chassidim is telling us, listen, no one's coming into shul and telling us to give up our life, not to talk during that. No one's doing that. But how are you going to kick the habit? How are you going to break out of this horrible midah of doing sping of lashon hara, of talking during davening, or coming late for davening, or doing this, doing that, things that people take very lightly? You know what the answer is? In your mind, play a game. The game is, make believe the goyim are telling you, you better do this. And if you do not do this, we're going to force you to bow down to an idol. So then, what would we do? We wouldn't do it, we would give up our lives. We would mamish give up our lives, because that's the nature of a Jew. The nature of a Jew is to die al kiddush Hashem. Then bring your make believe, live in the world of fantasy, and that will be a technique which will help you break a bad midah. Now, does this really work? I don't know. I've never seen someone try this. I've never heard about this until I saw this. In the Chassidim. Obviously, doesn't seem that in this generation this technique works. But he's saying this. And maybe 800 years ago, when people lived in a different frame of mind, they had their level of discipline and their level of imagination was a bit different than ours. Maybe this idea really did work, was a technique that did work for many people. I don't know. I mean, you always see today advice. You go, you read these articles. They have all these books, how to lose weight, how to control yourself. Do they work? I don't know. It doesn't seem like these books on advice really help people very much. But obviously, if someone's writing this book, it must work for someone. This technique appears to be, it's a very interesting idea how a person can succeed in overcoming the Yetzer Hara to break a bad midah. Now let's try to.
So if a guy tells you to gain weight, then you have to lose weight. Then you should.
He's not doing that for a
religious. If a guy tells you to do something for a religious reason. For religious reason, even a narishkeit, it's the way he's exercising his control over you to show you, I'm the boss, and you're going to do things the way I want, and this will ultimately lead, his goal is that you will bow down to my idol. You will adopt my way of life. And we're going to start with small things. We're going to start to make, I want to see the color of your shoelaces are green. And then the next thing will be to do this. And ultimately, we're getting you into a frame of mind, you will bow down to my idol. Or you will send your children to the church for religious training. So if there is such a thing, and there did exist these type of situations in Jewish history, it was very common, then a person has an obligation to give up his life, even for such a trivialty, the call of a shoelace. And what's very disturbing today is, in the news, it's very, very disturbing, there are people, when the goyim, they make a law, you have to teach a little more English, secular education, a little more of this, a little of this. The goyim have absolutely, in 99% of the things they're trying to do to us, they have absolutely no intent that this will lead to worshipping their adopting their lifestyle. They're doing it for our good, that we should just be literate and we should be able to survive in this world. There's no kavana in most of the things that the goyim are trying to do to us in this country for religious reasons.
It could be subtle, you never know.
Okay, that's right. It could be very, very subtle, but generally most of the things that, and some people, they get all worked up, they go crazy. It's a gezeiras hashmad, Rabbi Yisai. It's gezeiras hashmad. They pass the law.
People who do that don't believe in God. They don't believe in any God. Usually these people are the atheists.
Well, they want you not to believe.
Okay, but sometimes they want you also not to believe.
Right, exactly.
Okay, you have to be very careful. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But you want to go to a mitzitza bepeh. Do you really think, Rabbi Yisai, do you really think that when the government is trying to ban mitzitza bepeh, it's for religious reasons? Or it's because they sincerely believe that it's dangerous, and it's a health hazard. There are different people. Some of them are do. Some of them do have an axe to grind. Some of them do. But not all of them. Now, some of them, you know, maybe they're confused with the fact. Listen, who knows what. But for a person just to shoot from the hip, and when there is a statement from the secular government regarding something that relates to the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish community, and the first thing we say is, Rabbi Yisai, it's Gezeres Hashmad. Gezeres Hashmad. They said we can't do this anymore. So the first thing we have to know is, we're living in times of Shmad. They're trying to convert us to Christianity. Rabbi, come on. Ridiculous. There may be some people that have problems, but don't get carried away so fast. If it's Taka Gezeres Hashmad, that's right. You're mechuyev to give up your life. But if it's not Gezeres Hashmad, you're not mechuyev to give up your life. And you have to find a solution. You have to work to find the... But it's not healthy to scare everyone and tell everyone there's a new pogrom happening and there's a new Shmad happening and give up your life. Here he's discussing, let's say there is. Let's say they're out to get us. Then enochinami, there's a halacha to give up your life. If a person will take, even something that is trivial, if a person has in his life is having a problem with something which in society is considered very minor, very insignificant, and there's no way you're going to break the bid mida, make believe it was a gzeres hashmad. How would you react? It is human nature that in such a situation you would react in an extreme way. You would go to the extreme in being super meticulous in not doing the Aveira. It's a great technique. Try it. Try to live in the world of fantasy. It might actually help you. You ever watch Mr. Rogers? You sit down by the corner on the train. Now we go into the world of make-believe. The world of make-believe sometimes can accomplish great things, can heal, it can accomplish great things to bring a person to achieve things that he otherwise would not be able to achieve. I believe this is what he's trying to say here in Halacha Chav Ches, but the words are very hard to fit in. Let's read it very quickly, and then we'll stop just this one paragraph. Zois Torah Sashav B'chol Levav. Let me tell you the law. Let me tell you a technique in how to do teshuvah with all of your heart, all of your soul, b'chol ma'od, all of your wealth. Lidabek, lihidabek, bibaro, to cleave to your Creator. Here we go. V'al kol avera v'avera shetavo liyadoi. Every time a person is presented with a small avera, what is the technique? Yachshoif, a person should think, what would have been if there was a gezeres hashmad on this particular avera? What would be yachshoif? Chas v'sholay, God forbid, im goizrim olav shmad, they were goizr shmad on talking during davening. You must talk during chazeres hashatz. You know what would happen? Yehoring. Alichur Hashem. Could you imagine people would be willing to die not to talk during Chazaras Hashatz? V'chizeh dover akosha shlo yuchal amay boy. Is this something that's so hard for a person to withstand? Yisbol avur yichud shmo? It's not. People would do this. Would you believe it? People would do this gladly. Gladly. A mamish willing to die not to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. That's what he says. People know his time was during the time of the Second Crusade. 800 years ago was during the heat of the Crusades. What was the second, the one they made all the movies on? Lionheart? What was his name? Richard. Lionheart. Okay, Hollywood is all about Richard. Richard Lionheart, not about the First Crusade. The First Crusade is very shock. They don't want that's Tisha B'Av. They don't really. The Hollywood never really wanted to tackle the First Crusade, but Richard, he lived during that time, so he knew good and well what it means to die al kiddush Hashem. Okay, the Second and Third Crusade was no fun, and he knew what it means to die al kiddush Hashem. He says people are willing to give up their life to die al kiddush Hashem in a snap. So just make believe the goyim were goyzer there. You must talk during Chazaras Hashatz. You would die in a snap. Once you enter into that world, it should be a piece of cake now for you not to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. Oz then kol avera yegal olav lahavira mimena. Every avera, it'll be easy as pie to push it away. You have a temptation to talk during Chazar Sashatz. Why am I not allowed to talk during Chazar Sashatz? Because the goyim said I must. The goyim said I must. Lahaches, I'm not going to talk. Umiyad kisha adam bal li toher misayin lo min Hashem. Once a person enters into this world, Hashem will give him assistance. Now it's interesting over here in the parish that I have. Other parish, he says, what does he mean over here to say this? What does he mean with this last line? So he says an idea, interesting idea. He says, how in the world can you compare talking during Chazaras Hashatz to dying al Kiddush Hashem? Do you know why people die al Kiddush Hashem in a snap of a finger? It's a one-time deal. It's one time. That's it. You give up your life, it's over. Not to talk during Chazaras Hashatz is a nisoyin that I have every single day. Today by Shacharis, today by Mincha, tomorrow by Shacharis, tomorrow by Mincha. Come on! I can't die every day Al Kiddush Hashem. You can die Al Kiddush Hashem because it's one time. But to continuously battle an Avera, which goes on and on every single day, even the lightweight Avera is much harder. So he says, it's not so. Once you do it once, Hashem helps you. Once you make the effort, Habol L'Taher, L'Taher, Messiah Loi HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters into the picture, and he will grant you Siyata D'Shmaya to make it easier in all the subsequent Nisyonos that come your way.
That's what the
paper
says.
And over here also, says, okay. Yeah, so this is a very interesting, a lot of psychology techniques, and going into a different world. Very, very interesting. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break.
Like Schwab says, why do the Relay Shor Festival start? So some of Farshim say, you have to lay the Pasik, before we lay all the halachas of Yom Tov. Why do we do that? So some of Farshim say, you need the Pasuk to make the Aliyahs. That's the one thing. He says, no, because to live your whole life, you have to start with Shalos Kalu Shem Kochi V'Nidashti. If you don't start with that pasuk, you can't be Mekayim the Shalosh Revolim properly. That's what he said to the Sefer. That's the Hazkolos Hadvar.
Interesting. Shem Shvab.
Yeah. So you start off with that.